in prayer. And the prayer diary, the presbytery prayer diary, prayer circle, is at Kilwinning Old Parish Church, Reverend Jeanette Whitecross and Isabel Beck, the deaconess. So we remember them too. Things of concern, we remember that we're in this period now, 100 years on from the Passchendaele, the battle at Passchendaele, and we just remember that period of time when so many people made so many sacrifices, not just in the war but at home too. So we remember that time and that horrendous time as well, when many, many lives were lost. At home and today, to think about the impact the energy price rises will have on the poorest and the most vulnerable. The companies will say that they'll do things to try and mitigate against that, but actually there will be people who will suffer more because prices have risen. And it's maybe not the very poor, but it's maybe those who don't qualify for any more help suddenly fall in a bit deeper. So remember the situation around that. Also, there's been reports of increased use of food banks over the summer. And this is as a result of children not getting school meals because the schools are off. So the food's got to come from somewhere, and that's where it's coming from. So remember families who have got to fall back on the food banks. But also for me, it raises another question. The question is this: what can we do about it? What can we do about it? Where can we help? So I'm leaving that there with you. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we give you thanks for all your goodness and your loving kindness to us and to all you have made. We bless you for our creation, our preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, we bless you for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, and for the means and grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray that you will give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show you our praise, not only with our worship, but in our lives, by giving ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. And we take the time now to pray our own prayers, the prayers that are on our hearts and our minds, the prayers that have been inspired by your Holy Spirit. We lift them to you in the quiet. And Father, as we pray, we too lift up these prayers in the prayer tree for the people, for the blessings, for the thanks, and for the hurts. And Father, as we pray that you would hear our prayers, that you would answer our prayers as we make them through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with and the Holy Spirit be honour and glory throughout the ages. Amen. As we worship again, this next hymn is one that actually starts to ask questions for us, but to look to see, when is it that we actually survey, when we see the wondrous cross? When do we see that in our lives, in that detail I talked about earlier? And for us, I think that's important, that we should be looking at that. When I survey the wondrous cross, let's worship him. Let's pray. Father, as we worship you this morning, as we praise your name and give you the glory, so we ask your Spirit present with us now, just fills us, enters and fills us, and opens us to your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God. Amen. As I said earlier, this is the next of the discipleship series, the next of the looking at the Psalms of Ascent, and remembering that as we look at these were used most likely to be the songs that the people sung as they approached Jerusalem, as they walked up the hill, and they would be walking up together, there would be crowds of them and singing. And the suggestion is, even with this one, it may be that somebody led the line. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, and they all join in. But however that happened, that's an image for us to hold as the people approached Jerusalem for a festival, for a time where they will be worshipping God. They were worshipping God. That was the focus of all that they were doing and they were saying. They would be meeting people again, but they would be there to go to the temple to worship, to remember the goodness and the faithfulness of God, and to respond to his love. And you know, the whole idea of festivals are very difficult, they're very different from our idea of festivals now. One of my main images of festival is now Tea in the Park, although that's old hat now. But the festival part of Tea in the Park, where people were coming in all sorts of weathers and all sorts of conditions to go to see the bands, to hear the bands. And it's a festival. Many, many years ago, when I was in the pipe band, we went across to Belgium to the festival at Aalst in Belgium, and that was a festival. That was a festival like no other festival I've ever seen. And we went over 3 days, and by the end of the 3 days, there were some real sights. But people just, the whole idea of why they were there didn't seem to be there anymore. They were just there, and there were lots of events and lots of activities and lots of things to do. So festival for us can be different things. For these people, though, they were coming up to the holy city to worship God, to focus on their God, and to remember his faithfulness in their lives. And so this is one of the songs of ascent that they would have been singing. And these people would know the words to these psalms. But you know, this song, this story, it's one of witness and testimony. It doesn't speak about how God will act in a particular way. It's not a prophetic kind of thing. It's not a hopeful kind of thing that says, well, maybe God will do this when we're in difficult times, maybe. It doesn't speak about how God will act. It speaks about how God has acted in the past, acts now, and will act in the future. This is a witness and a testimony that God didn't leave us, that our helper is the maker of heaven and earth. And there is no better than that. Our helper is the maker of heaven and earth. So this is the witness of the psalm, the story of the psalm. This is what it was telling the people then, and this is what it tells the people now, tells us. You know, we all live in times of difficulty as well as good times. Each one of us can point to some difficulty in our lives, some challenge, or some maybe just some bad times in our lives. We can all do that, but we can also point to some of the good times. But the psalmist points out a reality, points out that reality in his psalm. But he says, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept us over. The raging waters would have swept us away. Eugene Peterson, whose book, Along Obedience in the Same Direction, I'm kind of basing this on, he says about this, this is about the reality of life, about dragons and floods. We all know about dragons. They're not real, but you know, we kind of have them in our minds. Sometimes these things that keep us awake at night, or waken us during the night, these things that are our fears that get out of control. And suddenly, from being something wee and inconsequential, we can build a whole dragon around it. With flames, with big claws, with hard skin, and something that seems like it's just not going to be defeated. That's the reality that the psalmist is speaking about. The dragon in our lives. The dragon that would swallow us alive. It's a reality there. And one of the fears of people, as it was then and it still is for us now, the way it's been expressed. And the other one's the flood, the waters engulfing. And if you've watched some of the programs about how a tsunami works, then you see how it builds and it builds and it builds, and then it hits land and devastates, where people are engulfed, where everything is swept away. And we kind of live knowing that these are kind of how we look at some of the harder times in our lives. But here the psalmist in reality confronts them. The reality from life itself. And he approaches this and speaks about it, but we need to look at it and say, well, this is not just a personal thing, but this is about a corporate group, about all of us. The chosen people of Israel were singing these psalms. The chosen people of Israel spoke about when people attack us. And again, it's something from perspective or context. Their history is full of times when they look back and see when they've been under occupation, when they've been defeated. And for us, we maybe don't get that idea. But actually, when we look around and we look at the way people are now attacking church or attacking our faith and our religion, then maybe we get that idea that as a group of people, as believers, as followers of Christ, then people will turn on the church and on people because of that, and they'll claim the Bible irrelevant, or they'll claim things against the faith to try and disprove it. We're under a pressure. So these realities of being flooded and dragons and people against us is a reality for us in our personal lives, but also as a group of people, a church family. But in all that, I want to remember, I want to point out and want us to remember, God didn't leave us. Our helper is the maker of heaven and earth. God didn't leave us. I said that this psalm is a model of, or is a witness, a testimony. And actually for us it can be a model, which brings to our attention that our call from God is to witness, to share. Imagine sitting on the sides watching these people coming and they're singing that psalm, or other people are hearing it. You know, it's not about a press release. We will write something nice for the press and put it in, and there it is, appears in the paper. It's not a press release. It's not a commercial. It's not a commercial that is designed to say your life will be smarter, brighter, shinier, better with God. The psalm is not a commercial, but it's an honest prayer. And it's a way and a prayer that we can make and read again and go through, of thanksgiving, of petitioning, of interceding, of building ourselves up. And it reminds us of God's help, that He did not leave us. He does not leave us, and He will not leave us. That our help is the maker of heaven and earth, and you can get no better. And one of these things about God's help is that it's not a private experience, but it's a corporate reality. It's that thing that's expressed amongst, normally it's expressed amongst the people of God. We don't normally see God's help with an individual, isolated strangers. It doesn't say that God wouldn't do anything. We don't normally see that. But we do see it amongst the people of God. And some of this is about having faith. Trusting faith in God. He's faithful to us and our response to Him. You know, the Hebrew origins of the word faith, the word is amanah. But the origins of that word means faith, it means trust, it means about securing something. But in the different, and there's about seven different kinds of verb endings in the Hebrew language, something which challenged me greatly in university. But they bring the word alive, they bring different expressions to the word. And one of them, one of these verb endings, actually makes the word amanah, faith, into a real verb, a doing. So we would be encouraged to faith God, be encouraged to trust God, encouraged to faith God. And so as we live our lives as disciples focusing on God, it's that help that we experience, not the hazards that we risk, the help that we experience that shapes our days and our ways with God as disciples. And as disciples, the question is, where can we survey the cross in this psalm? Where do we see what God has done? And it's this: God didn't leave us. Our helper is the maker of heaven and earth, and you can get no better. In fact, God has gone to such an extent that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ. He gave His own life on the cross. He was died, buried, rose again, ascended to be the Father, and lives, and will come back again to live and reign over us and over all the world. God didn't leave us. He gave us His Son as a promise and a guarantee. Our helper is the maker of heaven and earth, and you can get no better. You know, we can be able to be those people marching up, walking up to the temple, to the Jerusalem, singing that psalm, knowing that God didn't leave us, knowing that God won't leave us, knowing that God hasn't left us, but knowing that He is the maker of heaven and earth, and He is our helper. Can you imagine if we met up the road as a group and started singing to the church a psalm of ascent? That psalm that's a witness, a reality, a testimony to the fact that of God's faithfulness. What would that look like from a passerby's perspective? What would that look like to somebody who hasn't caught on to who God is yet, what would that look like? But as disciples, we need to get used to that fact. We need to live within that reality that in all the hard times and in all the good times that we go through, God didn't leave us. God hasn't left us. God won't leave us. And our help is the maker of heaven and earth, and you can get no better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, for this psalm of ascent, how it shapes our ways and our life as a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, your Son. So Lord, as we worship you, strengthen us, encourage us in your ways, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And we continue with our offering. Let's pray. Father, we present these, our offerings, a token of all that you've given, we give back to you for the building up of your kingdom. And Father, we dedicate ourselves to you once more. Dedicate ourselves afresh to you. That we would remember and walk in the ways of knowing that you have never left us, that you are our helper, that in all things are possible because of you. And may we, through you, see the building up of your kingdom. May you put in our ways people to share with, to share your love, your grace and mercy with. Hear these, our prayers offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less. Let's stand to worship him. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, as we leave this place, may we take the worship, the praise, and glorify your name in all that we do in this future week. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.